Before we highlight our missionaries tonight, I wanted to take a few moments to draw your attention to God's Word tonight, and specifically in response to an article that was written recently in a magazine relative to a missions director who was sharing some thoughts about his concern about missions, what's taking place today. And I wanted to draw our attention tonight to the Word of God, and specifically on the theme of righteousness and truth. Suffering today as it is. This mission director wrote the following: "I wonder why we do not see more people surrendering for the mission field. Why are fewer of the younger generation surrendering to the ministry? Are there barriers in our churches that keep young people from pursuing full-time Christian service? I believe there are several reasons. Number one, the mission of the church. I wonder if world evangelism has become an insignificant program of the church rather than the mission of the church. Perhaps this is one of the reasons missionaries struggle to raise financial support these days. Perhaps our youth observe these struggles and question the church's priorities and thus have less desire to enter the ministry and live a life of service. In other words, the example at home, in giving to missions is not there. And so if mom and dad are not urgent about missions and giving to missions, why should I be urgent about giving to missions or going for God to missions?" The second thing he puts down is the political climate. "Since the attacks on our nation on September the 11th, 2001, I have seen an increased fear of people to go and serve the Lord internationally. Indeed, our planet is a threatening place to live. With the volatile situation in the Middle East, the move towards socialism in Latin America, the tensions in North Korea and Iran, and the threat of terrorism around the world, I wonder if our young people are hesitant to consider cross-cultural service. Our world has always been plagued with troubles of some kind, but it may be that our awareness is heightened due to television coverage and the internet. Early pioneer missionaries dealt with a variety of issues, such as deadly diseases, dangerous travel with less than worthy vessels, hostility of other religions and governments and wars. Sometimes surrender and service brings suffering for the cause of Christ. I still believe it is true that the best place to be is in the center of God's will, no matter where we are." I appreciated that statement. You know, we may think that times are perilous, but missionaries have gone into very difficult places around the world. They've traveled on boats that were less than reliable. And we're able to get around. We've got missionaries that spend a lot of time flying back and forth. They're back to the United States all the time. And yet there doesn't seem to be a desire in many hearts to go. And then he gives a third reason: selfishness. "Sacrifice is not a frequent theme in most churches today. Is there less challenge for people to totally surrender and follow the call of God from today's pulpits? Maybe that is why there are fewer who are yielding their all as a total living sacrifice for their Lord. Let's remind our people that the greatest life is the abundant life of serving Christ and obeying His commission." And as I read these thoughts, which I deeply appreciated, I couldn't help but think, what's going on? Why is there selfishness? Why is there the responding to the political climate and say, "Well, I'm not going to go, and I don't want my kids to go. I don't want them to go to a dangerous place." Well, the mission field has always been dangerous. We've been able to control a great deal of the diseases that plagued our early missionaries, and so we have a tendency to think, well, we're able to control that. Now it's all right for our kids to go, but nobody's controlling the terrorism, so therefore they can't go. Our children respond to how we teach and train at home. And then the mission of the church. If we are not giving to missions, if we are not establishing a priority in our homes or at church, our children catch that. They catch that and say, "Well, why should it be a priority in my life? It's not in my mom and dad's life. It's obviously that they're not giving and they're not pushing us and they're not praying for us to go. Why should I go?" Here's a mission director that sees this. He's on the other end. He's on the seeking end for young people to go, and there are fewer and fewer that are going. He was talking about the mission class that they have there, 17. Back in the 1950s, mission class, 180. It's dwindled down to less than 20. All right? That's cause for concern. Is the need less today? I don't think so. I think one of the reasons is found in Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 14, and I'm not going to preach a long message, but I want to challenge you, as you pray for missions, we need to be praying for our children. When you think of a missionary on the field, or you think of a missionary's children, I want you to pray for your children and your grandchildren that God would move in their hearts. It's not enough to pray for the Threlfall children to go back to the mission field. Okay? Lord, help the Threlfall children. Help them all to go back to the mission field. Wait a minute. Are you praying for your children and your grandchildren to be open and receptive to God's call upon their life? They're the ones. If they don't come from our church, where are they going to come from? Well, that's how we need to pray. We need to pray that God would work in our family situations rather than just praying that God would work in the missionaries' family situations. We need to get serious about that. Here's a problem. And judgment is turned away backward. You know what the word judgment in the Hebrew is? Our ability to think straight is turned away backward. It's not right. What has happened because of that? And justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. I want you to think with me for just a moment. In other words, truth has fallen in the street, traffic is blocked, and nobody can pass by. Now, what is this saying here? The moral and spiritual progress of a person, a family, a church, a nation, or nations of the earth, the progress, moral and spiritual, stops when truth falls down. Now, notice the Bible is very clear here. It doesn't say truth is dead in the streets. Truth cannot die. It's impossible for truth to die because truth has its life in Christ. But truth can fall in the street. Truth can fall down. It can be kicked down and stepped on by people who do not appreciate it. The text here does not say that truth is dead. It says that it has fallen in the street. Truth was born with God and will end when God ends. And we know from the Bible that God is from everlasting to everlasting, which means that truth is what? From everlasting to everlasting. Truth cannot die. The Bible will always be God's inspired word, for it says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Jesus said this, you cannot destroy the truth. You can do nothing to the truth but to knock it down and block traffic with it. I think there's a traffic jam in our churches today. There's a traffic jam in our homes, and children are blocked from serving God and moving on into truth because there's a traffic jam. And you know what's laying in the way? Truth. God's truth is laying in the way. Now, this is serious business. What happens when somebody falls down in the street? Everybody rushes over. Sir, are you all right? What happens to the traffic? Someone stops. I remember a few years ago, we had an animal, a horse, that had run out of the yard. Somebody had left the gate and it ran out into the traffic and a Ford truck hit the horse. And the truck careened off the road into a bunch of bushes and that horse was hobbling around in the middle of the road. I came down with my truck. I saw what had happened. I slipped by the horse and I turned my truck sideways in the road to block traffic. I didn't know how badly injured the horse was. The daughter who owned the horse of the family that was in there came running out of her house and she grabbed her horse around the neck and was holding it. It was holding its front foot. It was just dangling. It was crushed. And so I stood out there with my truck and we waited for the police to get there and the girl called the vet to come and they had to put the horse down. We helped the horse, pushed it over to the side, and the the doctor gave the injection, and the horse was gone. Now, that street, Northrop Road, was blocked on both sides. Another gentleman had put his big dump truck in the middle of the road, stopped traffic on both sides. No traffic was able to pass while this scene was unfolding. Nobody was able to progress and proceed until the horse was safely out of the road and had been put down, and then we moved our vehicles out of the way and allowed the traffic to proceed. When truth falls in the street, there's a traffic jam, there's a blockage, and people can't move either way. I think that's what's happened to America. I think that's what's happened in missions. I think that's what's happened in our homes and in our churches, because truth has fallen down. No one can pass on and do what is right. What is the matter with the world today? Why are we in such a mess? Spiritual and moral progress has been stopped because truth has fallen in the street. What is the matter with our young people today? We have been washed over in America with a wave of sensuality that has flooded our young people. Have you not seen the wave? We've had a tsunami that's come over this land. It's been over Europe for years. Sensuality, immorality among young people. That wave came across the Atlantic and it has washed over America. Why do we have such lawlessness? Our government schools, our compromised churches, and our ravaged homes have taught the youth of America to do what feels right, not what is right. There's a big difference. There is a vast difference between the two. The Bible says you will reap what you sow, but the culture says sow your wild oats. Isn't that what the culture says? Let young people be young people. Let the boys go out and sow their wild oats. Everything will be all right. No, it won't. Because you reap what you sow. Truth has fallen down in our schools and churches. Preachers, PhDs, professors, school boards, parent groups have kicked down truth and stepped on it. Now all hell has broken loose. You say, that's kind of tough language, Pastor Brainerd. I want to be honest with you. That which is right and good and holy is lying in the street, blocking the way of progress and success for the nations of the earth. That's what God said would happen in the last days. We are living in a messy world. Our government is doing everything it can to silence truth. America isn't a Christian nation. We have our creeds, but that's not good enough. Truth has fallen down and traffic has stopped. Now, what truth has fallen down in your life? It's right to be honest, is it not? Are you honest tonight about your soul? Listen to Romans 10. This is a passage that came to my mind as I thought about this. It's a beautiful passage. It reads, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." Their zeal, I want to go forward, but there's no knowledge. There's something blocking the way. That's the picture. Something's blocking. I've got the zeal, but there's something I'm not able to go that way. Truth has fallen in the streets. "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them." Do you get the picture there? The one that which doeth these things, trust in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, does righteousness. It responds to truth. "But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." The most important thing that an individual, a church, a home, a nation must understand is the truth that righteousness is required. And truth has fallen in the street. So there is no progress, there is no spiritual growth and understanding because we have disrespected truth. We're trying to find our own righteousness. We're trying to make away with our own righteousness in America and in our churches. And as a result, we are stopped dead in the road. We cannot proceed further. That's what's facing missions today. 17. 1950s, 180-something candidates to go into the mission field. The numbers are dwindling. Why? Because we've disrespected truth. It's not loved. What is wrong with the world? That which is right cannot go forward over the body of inactive truth that lies in the street. You must act on truth. You cannot have a moral nation when that nation has inactive truth. And we have inactive truth today. And so let me encourage you, as you pray for your missionaries, remember, please, that it's not just about them. It's about us, too. We have potential missionaries right here at Grace Bible Church. Are we praying that God would raise up some to go and take their place? That's our responsibility. If you love missions, it's much bigger than putting a dollar in the offering plate. See where I'm going? It's much bigger than just throwing a few dollars in the offering plate and say, well, there it goes. There's my obligation to missions. No. It's my children. It's your children. It's our grandchildren. It's our responsibility to pray in that regard. That's where missions rubber meets the road. That's when we get serious. It's not just throwing money at the problem. It's sending our children by God's grace as He calls and works in their heart and life. So as we pray for our missionaries, I trust and pray that we'll get serious about it and that we'll think about our children in that regard.